And the second topic, title is Duplicating Christ's Love in Our Marriage. So we've seen this morning in the first topic how much Christ loved us. How much did he love us? Because he went to a picnic with us? No, because he went to the cross for us. That's how much he loved us, that he was willing to come down from heaven to give his life, hanging on the cross, and to be able to go back into heaven and say, Father, I'm here to intercede for them. And remember, there's like 8 or 9 scriptures where it talks about Jesus interceding for us at the right hand of the Father. What I find very interesting is when they were stoning Stephen, that he was standing interceding for Stephen. So he does take an interest in our lives. It may have been times when it didn't feel that way, but coming back to our topic, and especially as we get a picture in our mind of unconditional love, we get that picture. Let's just let that picture that I was describing to you of Jesus holding us sink into our minds. Because that's really what he's doing when he gives us his son to us through the Holy Spirit, or when he gave us his Holy Spirit to fill us with him, who he is. It's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, and those three together, he does love us, and he loves us unconditionally. And he's not just, probably in my youth time, especially in my youth, I felt like God is just waiting for me to mess up, and like if there's an ant crawling across this pulpit, I'll squish it. There, I got it. And that's kind of how I viewed God for a long time in my life. He's just waiting for me to mess up, and when I do, he's going to just squish it. That's not God. There will come a day when he'll have to say, I'm sorry, I didn't know you, if that's my condition. But that's not God. He's made all the provisions for us to. So as we get that mental picture of him holding us, him loving us, him caring for us, we're going to have to hit this thing running. There's one thing they tell you when you're a preacher. There's 3 things to a sermon or a topic. You got to learn how to get it. It's like flying an airplane. You have to get it off the ground. You have to keep it off the ground, but you have to bring it back. I usually crash land. All of a sudden, I'm out of time, and I'm just done. So we'll try and bring it back down, too. So we can all agree that the ball is in our court. God has given us all the tools. He's given us his word. He's given us people that understand us, people that care about us. But the ball's in my court. If Beth and I's marriage falls on hard times and we can't get along and end up sleeping in separate bedrooms and all that, it's because of me, not because of God. Because he showed us how much we are as men to love our wives the way that Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. So here's the question. What comes to your mind when you think about Christ's unconditional love? What comes to your mind? We're thinking we want to duplicate that now in our marriage. So what did he tell Christ? What did he tell God there in the garden? Father, not my will, but thine be done. Did he only say it once? No, he said it 3 times. Did he mean it? Yes, he meant it. Unless I forgot to mention it, there's going to be a couple baskets at the back of the auditorium. And like I said, you don't have to fill them out now, but when you're done filling them out, before tomorrow morning, put them in those baskets so we can compile them. And when Jesus was hanging on the cross, he said there in Luke 15 or Luke 23, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Is that the attitude I have toward Beth when she says something, makes a kind of a remark that I'm not sure what she meant? And I find it very interesting, you know, as years go on, you learn to know what each other likes and dislikes, and especially if you were married for a number of years, the first marriage. Do you have enough, Mark?
We're getting close.
They can make more copies if you need some. I have some here that they can make more copies for you. So in thinking of duplicating our marriage, the duplicating the love that Christ has for us in our marriage, duplicate means to make an exact copy of. It's like when I give these papers to Paul, he can make an exact copy of the same ones we made back in Indiana and brought in here. It'll come through the copying machine, the same thing. It didn't change the wording, didn't change the font, didn't change the color. It's the same. That's what a duplicator does. And remember, before we had them copying machines, we used to call them duplicators. I remember in school we had an old one that you had to put ink in the drum and you'd turn the crank behind it, shoot these papers out that you couldn't hardly read. You know, it's just gave you an excuse for a failing grade, didn't it? Couldn't read the question. But no, if we are going to duplicate, which we are required to do and which we're asked to do, we don't have to do it, but we're required to. If we're going to duplicate it, that means to make an exact copy of, and the ing on the end of a word means it's in process or it's action. So if we're duplicating, that means we're doing it now. We're going to do it tomorrow. It's constant. It's every day. It's not something that I accomplished when I told her I will, I am, I do. It's more than that. It's a constant. So if we're going to duplicate Christ's love and Christ is our Savior, he gave his life for us, what less can we do if we're going to be a duplicating machine that duplicates how he loves the bride which is you and I, and we're going to love our wives that way, because he says in 1 John 4:8, he that loveth not knoweth not God. That's pretty serious, isn't it? So if I can't get along with my companion, then that means I have to be honest and admit that I don't know my Lord either. And we don't like that, especially in the world today where divorce is taught and almost is accepted. Another statistic that I read, and this is not necessarily a widow and widowers, but second marriages have a higher divorce rate than first marriages. Even widowers. And here's a little joke on myself. I actually found out later after our first date that I talked quite a bit about my first marriage, and it hit me on the way home that I talked quite a bit about Lil, and I got to looking and listening to a podcast of a man that says that's one of the no-nos. You don't do that. But so it doesn't mean you don't talk about them, but you just, one of those questionnaires is, do you feel compared? One of those questions on the questionnaire, do you feel compared? And I, just this morning again, I called Beth Lil, and it upsets me, and I mean that, let me explain that. When I was talking to Paul, that Lil and I changed it to Beth, it seems since I'm married, I do that more than I would have thought I ever would. And she thinks it's funny, and I'm glad she does. She says there's a difference between a mistake and being compared. Little rabbit trail. So if love then is selfless and sacrificial, so now we're duplicating Christ's love in our marriage. Duplicating is the exact same thing. Who are we copying? We're copying Christ. What are we doing? We're loving our companion. It's not that hard. It's not that hard. It's easy to be honest. We all have learned that. It's much easier to say I'm sorry than to try and hide a sin. And so as we think of that and thinking what Christ has done for us, because he tells us in John 13, verse 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Now, I know he's talking about other people, but who are we to love more than our spouse? Remember the verses that we looked at there in Ephesians? It says that no man hateth his own flesh. And that's why people have even struggled with the poor me attitude is because I feel sorry for myself. It's not that I feel like, and people end up, they really struggle with that. But he says in verse 35, he says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples if ye love one another. And I don't think he's just talking about in church. I think that's everyone else. Like I said earlier, who is more important to us than our companion? The one that says, I will, I am, I do, and that wants to give her life and make our life happy. And who are we? We say they're supposed to be submissive to us, and we love that kind of that connotation. But what does it say? That we're to love them as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Also in 1 Peter there in chapter 3, I think it's verse 7, it says, it starts out with wives be submissive, and then he ends up in verse 7, he says, he's talking to men. What does he say? To live with them. Let's just go there so we get the wording right. 1 Peter, I think it's 3. I'm kind of getting ahead of myself here. 1 Peter 3 and verse 7, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, as giving honor unto the weaker, the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. So if I can't get along with Beth, that means that I can't get along with God, because he has asked me to love my companion. And when I can't get along with her, that means that I can pray all I will. But you know what you're going to do? If you're struggling with something, if you were like I am, if I'm struggling with something, you pray right along, you pray this nice prayer, you come to this hiccup, maybe I don't like Dave, I don't like the way he looks at me, so I just jump up over that and don't address that. I don't recognize that I don't like my brother the way I should. Guess what? Those prayers aren't heard, because God can't hear a prayer that's selfish. And I think we need to recognize that if I am at animosity with my wife and make this work. And I know this is supposed to be a happy seminar, but I think we have to get to the basics and realize that the ball is in my court. I like that we like that as men, that God has put us in charge, but so that means we're in charge, okay? So if there's something between us, then it's my responsibility to pursue that, not go to bed and lay back to back and say, act like nothing happened, get up the next morning and hope it's all good and hunky-dory and we just skip over it. You can't. Thanks to you sisters, you won't let us. And that's a blessing, because a wife likes to be loved. She likes to feel cared for. She likes to feel provided. And that's what we'll get into the next two topics tomorrow. And if she doesn't, then it frustrates her. And so for me to just pull the dummy cord and go cut a load of firewood instead of sitting down and talking it out, she's going to get frustrated because he won't talk to me. So how does it seem like when we come to our Maker and we say that to our Lord Jesus Christ and he says, you're to love me. And I say, well, I'd like to, but I can't because you won't talk to me. Jesus doesn't do that to us, does he? So as we look at that, and he tells us in Genesis 2 that we're to be that help meet. And I think we have sometimes overrated what help meet means, or underrated, I guess would be a better word. One commentary put it this way, that a help meet means help like. Because remember, where did Eve come from? Did God just drop her out of the sky? No, he put Adam to sleep, right? He even took a bone out of his side. So Adam had more right to his answer than you and I do. Beth isn't a part of one of my ribs. She's a gift that God has given me. But she's very special to me, so it's no wonder that Eve was very important to Adam, because she, like it literally says, flesh of my flesh and bone of my bone. So if a man never hates himself, he's not going to hate his wife either. I think that's why Adam, instead of saying, no, Eve, I can't. I can't partake of this fruit. That he loved her enough that he was willing to, he knew the consequences. I'm not saying we should sin to make our marriages work. That's not what I'm saying, but I think it just it shows the connection that he had with Eve. He didn't want her out there and him in here in peace and joy and happiness, and I don't know how that all would have worked if it had been different. But remember, it's a help like, or a help near, or a help before him. Now here is one thing that husbands should look upon with pleasure and delight, that we have someone that wants to walk with us. Remember, marriage is a picture of Christ in the church, and so our wedding day is a picture of our salvation. We were given another opportunity. For those of us here, literally, we were given another opportunity to be married again. That's not God's will for everyone. My mom's been single for a number of years and older now, and doesn't want to even be married again. But remember that we have this marriage, that's a picture of Christ in the church. Then we have our wedding day, that's a picture of our salvation. Like we were to put it on a plaque, I'm not saying we should worship the day we were saved. That's not what I'm saying, but it's a special day for us. Then we have the groom, or a picture of Christ. We have a picture in our mind of what the Savior has done for us. And then we have the bride. That's you and I. He has loved us so much that he gave himself for us. So we have this beautiful picture of husbands caring for each their wives. And so, a garden, as we look at that example, you can drive by somebody's house going a pretty good clip of speed and see if they enjoy gardening or not, don't you? That's probably why we have them out back. We don't want people to see the weeds. But even then, if you enjoy gardening, it's going to be spotless. You just love taking care of the garden. That's the same type of picture that we want to look at in taking care of our bride. Like I said, pictures reveal what's special to us, what's special to us. The garden reveals what's special to the gardener. For those of us husbands, the wives should, the people should be able to see that there is a very happy, contented wife. And it lays on the lap of us as men. Are we loving? Are we caring? Is that the best garden that we can produce? Or do we not mind if the weeds start growing and finally we just mow it off? The goals are lost, the vision is lost, it's all lost. No, Christ has that picture for us. And so as we think of that, we're duplicating Christ's love in our marriage, or a help meet, by lifting up, remember sisters, by lifting up your husband, you're lifting up yourself. And so it's not hard for me to want to till the garden for Beth, because I know that's her love. She just loves to work in the garden. And I love to be there because she's there. And so I'll do the hard work. I guess tilling's not as hard as pulling weeds, but I want to spend time with her because it's something special to her. And I remember back, and this will come out more in our next two topics, but a cousin of mine was one of them men that had more ideas than he had time or money. And he was just kind of scattered. He'd start a project here, he'd start a project there, he'd start something here, and he'd start something there. And he was very emphatic, which whatever it was, that was what we should be doing. He had a construction business with his brother, and his brother was the kind of man that he'd show up at the job site with a box of donuts, and all the workers would come, and they just loved when he pulled in. When the brother pulled in, they'd go, oh, no. He'd jump out of the car, and before the door was even shut, he'd be giving orders. Hey, Dave, you should be over here doing this, and Mel, you should be over here doing that. And he'd have everybody rearranged, and then after he'd leave, they'd say, okay, let's go back to what we were doing. So the one had the respect of the person and loved the people. The other didn't, but he got married. And he got married to a wonderful lady that behind the scenes mellowed him out, leveled him out. He still had a lot of ideas and a lot of ambition, but he was confident in what he was doing. Became a minister in the church, was very effective in teaching Bible schools because he had someone behind him that made him who he was. You know, Proverbs 31, you don't like to read that, do you, sisters? That lady just worked day and night and never got a break, loved to work hard, and wanted to just took over. You know what it says there later in that chapter? She wasn't known in the gates, but her husband was because of her. She wanted him to be in the limelight. She wanted him to be in the front. And so when we see that, we own, especially when we lived in Belize, and you know, if you were there and we had four little children, and Lil at that time was very busy taking care of the house. You know, we all wanted clean clothes and we wanted something to eat. She would say, my job is to take care of things here so you can take care of things in the village and in the church. She didn't get out as much as I did, but she wanted me to have that privilege. So she did the work at home. She didn't say, hey, you need to stay home and babysit this afternoon. I want to go out. I deserve a day off. No, she didn't say that. So remember, and we'll come to that later, but your identity is in our respect that we have for each other. Love is the will, is to will the good of another. So for me to tell Beth that, no, I'm going to go fishing. You're going to have to till the garden tonight. I've worked hard all day and it's been hot and I need to deserve a break. She probably would. And she would even do that. I'm saying we should never can or never would. But in other words, for her to say, well, he's out there having fun, he's not willing to help me. I think that's what we need to be very careful of, because love is willing the good of another. So when we got married, we're giving ourselves to our spouse. When we got married, we gave ourselves to our spouse. Didn't we, in our promises? Yeah, we like that because she agreed to help me also. But it doesn't say when everything's going good. It says in health and in prosperity and sickness and in weakness. You know, it's very. We need to be very careful with that. So remember, sisters, you are your husband's biggest cheerleader. I used to tell Lil and I tell Beth the same thing. I don't care about when I share a message. A number of you could share a testimony, and that doesn't mean to me what it does for her to critique it for me. I just love that because I know she's doing it because she loves me. She wants me to help me improve. She wants to help me be able to be who God has wanted me to be. And so you are your husband's biggest cheerleader. So the next time you're at some camp out or some cookout or some place for supper, you just put a little sugar on your husband. It's amazing how he'll come home and comment about that. You're his biggest cheerleader. You're his biggest cheerleader. So what really is Christ's love like? Well, we could go into 1 Corinthians, and you know, it's like, he says there, it's like, it vaunteth not itself. You know, it suffers long, it's kind, it envies not itself, it vaunteth not itself. Or in other words, that means it's not rash. You know, it's not easy, it's not puffed up. And he just goes on and on. He says what love, it's all those things that mankind tends to do. And so, remember, as your wife enjoys gardening, us husbands should enjoy husbanding. Our wife should be the garden of our heart. There's nothing that we want more than to see her shine. There's nothing we want more to see her enjoy life. Just like a garden just means so much when it starts coming up, or if you're a farmer, there's nothing that's more rewarding to see those rows of corn start coming up, just like a picket fence, just perfect stand. You know, just that's just beautiful. We just could sit there and watch it all day. Same way with harvesting in the fall. You just love to hear that combine run or that chopper run. We just love that. And I don't farm anymore, but I still enjoy watching it. It's still a part of me. I still enjoy hearing a combine in the field. And that's what it should also mean, that we as husbands should enjoy husbanding. As much as us men want to produce 400, 500, 600 bushel corn, which is the world record, by the way, 600 in some, I never thought it would be a kind, but it's because someone paid special attention to every detail possible that happened, that you can produce 600 bushel corn. And if we are that kind of a husbandman in our marriages, I don't think we have an idea how high the yield can be. The return is going to be out of this world, not only physically or literally here, but in the world to come.